Let's just pray together as we focus for the next few minutes on that passage of Scripture. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the good shepherd who laid down your life for the sheep. And thank you for the reminder in this passage of Scripture that you say, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And we pray that you'd help us to hear your voice again this morning, through my stumbling words now, through the words of Scripture, as we just are in your presence together. And we may not only hear your voice, we might respond in obedience and trust. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I say it's great to be here with you again this morning at St. Wilfrid's, and look forward to chatting with some of you at least afterwards over coffee. I have a question that I'd like us to keep in mind over these next few minutes. I'm sure that the last thing that could ever happen is that your mind wanders during the sermon. But just in case, just bear this question in mind. Whose voice or voices are you listening to at the moment in your life? Whose voice or voices are you listening to in your life? As I tell the following story, bear in mind that I myself am hearing impaired. I wear hearing aids. Just bear that in mind as I tell this story. And it's the story of a man whose wife was getting a little hard of hearing. So he asked her doctor if she could have an appointment to deal with this. These days you can't really ask on behalf of anybody else, I realize that, but there we go. And the doctor said, "Well, I can see her in 2 weeks." But he said, "Meanwhile, there's a simple informal test you can do as her husband that will give me some idea of the extent of her hearing problem. And here's what you do," he said. "Stand about 40 feet away from her and speak in a normal conversational tone and see if she hears you. If she doesn't, go to 30 feet and 20 feet, and then 10 feet, and see what might happen." That evening, his wife was in the kitchen cooking their dinner. He was in the living room. And he thought to himself, "I'm about 40 feet away. I'm going to try this and see what happens." "What's for dinner, love?" No response. So he moves to the other end of the room, about 30 feet away. "What's for dinner?" No response. He moves into the dining room about 20 feet away. "Darling, what's for dinner?" Still no response. He gets to the kitchen door, just a few feet away. "Love, what's for dinner tonight?" No response. So he goes right up behind her and he says, "Sweetheart, what's for dinner tonight?" "For the fifth time, it's chicken," she replied. Never happened in any of our houses, I'm sure. But isn't that the way it is sometimes in our lives? We can be deaf to what's really going on. Or we think it's the other person's problem when actually it's our own. Or to put it another way, we suffer from selective hearing. We only hear what we want to hear. Or we act as if we're listening, but actually our attention is elsewhere. Have you ever had that experience where you're speaking with somebody and you know full well, even though in one way they seem as though they're present, they're actually looking over their shoulder to somebody else who might just be a little bit more interesting? I know that because I've done it myself, and so some of you might have. So when we're speaking at the end of the service, I promise I will give you my full attention as best I can. And today's passage from John chapter 10, which has at its heart this picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd running through all the way, is all about listening, hearing, following, obeying the voice of Jesus. And the scenario is this, if you're listening to the opening verses of the reading. Jesus is there in the temple courts in Jerusalem. It's a special festival for the Jewish community, the Feast of Dedication. We're told by John it was winter, and they were there amongst the colonnades there. And a small group of people come close up to Jesus, rather like the husband in my story. And they're not all on side with him, we need to realize. They're not his disciples at this point. In fact, it sounds as though they're a little bit threatened by who Jesus is and by the way in which he is drawing the crowds, the way in which his teaching is impacting people, the way in which people are being healed and set free. And they come up to him and say, "Don't keep us in suspense. Are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one from God?" And in fact, Jesus doesn't answer their question directly. Have you noticed that about Jesus? When people are trying to trip him up or to trick him, it's a bit like the Today program on Radio 4 in some ways, he doesn't answer directly, but neither, like some politicians, does he avoid the question. But effectively, he says, "What do you mean? What more do I need to say? Don't my works," that is to say the healings and the setting free that people experience, "speak for themselves?" And he goes on to say, "Actually, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Because my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And this imagery of sheep and shepherd is, as we know, a very common one all the way through Scripture. We think back to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing." Often it's a psalm that's associated with mourning and grief and death, and there is that sense of a motif in it. But it's actually a psalm about life, not just a psalm about loss and about death. About a shepherd who leads and a shepherd who guides. And it seems to me, if you're anything like me anyway, that we can easily be, even those of us who would say we're disciples and followers of Jesus, we can either be hard of hearing, like I am, physically, or selective in hearing when it comes to Jesus' voice. And part of the reason for that is that we're surrounded by so many other competing voices in our worlds and in our lives, some of which can be confusing, some of which can be discordant. So we have to work out, each of us, whose voice do I listen to? Which voice should I follow amongst the many voices that are around us? There are voices that tell us, do this or do that. There are adverts that say, "You're too fat." "No, you're too thin." Do you know, I still carry a memory, and I know teachers wouldn't do that these days, of when I was 10 years of age, and that is a year or two ago. It won't surprise you to know. But I can still remember a teacher saying to me when I was 10, we were just about to move from Cornwall, where we'd be living, to a new location with my family, meeting with my parents, and this teacher saying to me, "You'll never amount to anything, because you're hopeless at maths. And if you're no good at maths, then you'll never get anywhere in life." I can still remember that. In 1966, people think there was only one miracle that happened in this country. The miracle of England winning the Football World Cup. The second miracle was, I passed my maths O-level. GCSE, for those who were born more recently. And you know, if I'd had that teacher's number or email, I think I'd have got in touch with them. Maybe it was as well I didn't, because it may not have been grace-filled what I said to them. But we carry memories, don't we, of what people say to us, over us, one way or another. Wear this, drive that, do your homework now. I mean, that voice we should always follow. But it's no wonder sometimes we tune out, because there are many different voices, literally, in conversation. But these days on social media as well. And we know the effects positively of social media, but also negatively, especially for some of our young people. So the really important question for those of us of faith is to say, is Jesus' voice the primary one that we are listening to? And if so, what is it that he is saying to us amongst all the other voices that we have around us? I'm sure this is something that all of you are aware of, but I was just struck again the other day in a situation I was in, how even the youngest child, a baby, can recognize a mother's voice. You can have a room full of people, you can have all sorts of noise going on, but the mum comes in and says something, and the baby's head turns. There's a recognition of that voice before there can be any response on the part of that baby. Even before we know, we kind of understand. And some of you may have had this experience. Doctors tell us that the last sense to leave a dying person is often their hearing. And I've been privileged to sit at a number of bedsides. It's a sad situation. It's a situation of grief, but it's also a privilege where I've been alongside a family and they're there with their loved one. And we're encouraged to say that we love them. Or maybe to say, it's okay, you can go now. And we cry and we pray. But the last sense to go is that of hearing. I remember that with my own mum as I spent time with her in a little hospital in Shipley just before she died. And that was what I was encouraged to do. And these verses are just such a powerful reminder. Not that we ignore other people's voices, but whose voice primarily are we listening to? And are we allowing that to shape our lives, our thinking, and our actions? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And you know, one of the great things about that verse, which just struck me again as I've been preparing for today, is that it's not just about we knowing Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the Savior, our friend, our Redeemer. That is important. That's what being a Christian is. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship. And we speak of knowing him, not just knowing about, but knowing him. But for that to happen, it's only because he first knows us. Because we love because he first loves us. Important reminder here, I know my sheep and they follow me. And in the Middle East, when a shepherd had his flock, and it usually was his flock, not a her flock, they would often have that flock for many years. They weren't sort of being fattened up to be on somebody's lunch or dinner table in a few months' time. They would journey with them for their wool. And so literally a shepherd, an Eastern shepherd, would give names as we do to our dogs and cats and ferrets and whatever else that we might have as our pets. They would be given names. I know my sheep by name. They might look all the same to other people. They're just a whole bunch of sheep in a flock. But I know them. I recognize them. I care about them. I know my sheep. And there's a lovely verse in Isaiah 43 that some of you'll know, where the prophet says, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The season of exams that's coming up for our young people with GCSEs and A-levels and people doing university exams just reminded me of a story I read a few years ago of a student who'd applied to a university, and they got a response back that said this, dear ZX532491Y, this is to let you know we have a personal interest in your being a student with us. Pull the other one. But do you know, I carry an amazing memory, and I can't remember if I might have even said this at the confirmation service last October, but I'll tell the story again. When I was the Bishop of Bolton in Manchester Diocese, I had responsibilities for prison chaplaincies, among other things. And I was in the prison formerly known as Strangeways, HM Prison Manchester, about to confirm four guys. And this man stood in front of me, one of the four to be confirmed. And he was a really big guy and tattoos and all the rest of it. And the words that you say just before you confirm in the Church of England's confirmation service is, whatever the person's name is, John, God has called you by name and made you his own. And it's based on these words in John 10 and Isaiah 43. So, John, God has called you by name and made you his own. And before I could continue, he said, yes, Bishop, he has. And then he said, oh, I'm really sorry. And I said, don't be sorry. And afterwards he said to me, in prison, I mainly am known as a number. But he said, I've come to understand because of God's knowledge of and love for me and forgiveness of me, I am known by name. And he said, I've got to serve out my sentence for the wrong things I've done, but I know I am loved and I am forgiven. I am known by name. It's a beautiful experience. I shall never forget it, hence telling the story. And so Jesus says here, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And probably many of you know, but perhaps not everybody, that one of the differences between an Eastern shepherd and a Western shepherd is that in this country and other countries in the Western world, where does a shepherd go in relation to his flock? I have plenty of time, you know. Behind. In the Middle East, the shepherd goes in front. So when Jesus says, "They follow me," people would be familiar in that context of the imagery that they follow where he goes. He prepares the way. And again, that's another thing Jesus says, doesn't it, in the Gospels, when he talks about returning to the Father in heaven. "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And for you and me, each place that we find ourselves in, Jesus is saying, "I've gone ahead of you in that." Whatever this week holds for each of us at school, at work, in our neighborhoods, in our families, Jesus has gone ahead of us, and we are to follow him and to hear his voice in those situations. But how do we hear his voice in amongst the cacophony and confusion of so many other voices that come at us? Well, one primary way, of course, is we hear his voice through the scriptures, through the Bible readings that we've just heard this morning. And when I've said to people, you know, how important it is to read your Bible, it's not to send people on a guilt trip because they're not reading their Bibles enough. But if we want to hear Jesus' voice, that's a primary way he speaks. Don't have to read loads of chapters, but we do need, I suggest, every day to make time to do that. And if we say, "Well, I'm really busy," we make time, don't we, for what's really important in our lives, all of us. And if we want to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and his guidance, then we need to open our Bibles and hear what he has to say to us. We experience it if we can find moments of quiet, and for some of us that can be in quite short supply. A friend of mine, when I was a vicar in Halifax way back, he became a Christian out of quite a colourful background. He'd been a nightclub bouncer, he'd been a Royal Marine, he'd been a professional wrestler. He'd served time at Her Majesty's pleasure, shall we say. But he came to faith in Christ. And he and his wife lived just in a really small council house. They had two teenage daughters. And I remember him saying to me, "How am I going to find a quiet place?" And I said, "Well, do you go to the bathroom at all?" He said, "That's a bit personal." But I said, "It says in the Bible, Jesus says, go into your closet and shut the door." He hadn't realized that translation in Matthew. So he said, "Yeah, that's what I'll do for 10 minutes each day. Lock the door." How do we find our space? If it's important enough, we'll find it one way or another. Maybe walking your dog in the Calverley Woods. What a lovely place to find space and hear the voice. Sometimes we hear God's voice through another person that we may say, "Can you just help me? I'm a bit stuck with this. I'm struggling with this." I remember a situation a few years ago when I had an important decision to make and I was really confused about what to do. And you know that saying, you know, "I used to be indecisive, now I'm not so sure." You know, it was kind of all around that. And I went to speak to this wise older person and said, "This is my dilemma." I won't go into the details of the conversation, but I came away 5 minutes later clear about what I should do. Not because she suddenly said, "God says," from the skies, but she just was able to speak a word into my life that meant I, in a sense, heard the shepherd's voice and knew what I ought to do. And I had complete peace of mind from then on. So God speaks in many, many ways. But are we ready to listen? Are we ready to tune in? And the last thing that I want to just say from this passage, which is so encouraging, is that when we hear that voice, when we follow, when we're ready to take some risks in saying yes, then we know a security that we will not know otherwise. And how many people, some of us here this morning, are looking for a real sense of security that's lasting in life. Again, lots of different offers and voices suggest, if you have this, do this, go there, you'll find security and happiness. I have to tell you, I'm not on the Britain's rich list that's been talked about this morning. You know, I'm not one of the billionaires. Church of England's clergy don't get paid that much. But there's a big thing this morning on the news. Are you on Britain's rich list? Is that where you find security? Easy for us, even if we're not on that list, which I suspect none of us are, to find our security in the things of this world. And yeah, we've got to live, of course. But Jesus says twice in these verses, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life. No one will snatch them from my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. No one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. When Jesus says something twice in a very short span, we really need to prick up our ears and listen and realize it's important. Security doesn't come from the kinds of safety that we often think are the ones that are important and lasting. It comes in being and doing the Father's will and following Jesus and all the risks and adventure and the joys and the challenges that that might involve. Anybody here who likes the Narnia stories may know this little quotation. Aslan, the lion figure, the Christ figure in the Narnia stories of C.S. Lewis. And there's a little conversation between two of the children. And one says to the other, "Is he safe?" referring to the lion. And the other one says, "Of course he isn't safe, but he is good." And it's not safe to be a Christian, but it's good, it's fulfilling. It's life in its fullness, which also comes from John chapter 10. And security in that lasting way through our listening to, obeying, following, taking risks to do the Father's will and listen to the shepherd's voice is how we'll discover that. I started by saying that this incident took place in the temple in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. The Jewish community still celebrate this feast. It's called Hanukkah. And it's the commemoration of an event which had occurred about 2 centuries before Jesus' lifetime. That's another sermon, so we won't go into that. It's all to do with the Maccabees, if you want to follow it up. And it just strikes me, I wonder if today can be for each of us, and I do say me as well as you, us, a day of dedication or rededication to listen more clearly for the sounds of God, to listen more clearly for the shepherd's voice, to make time to do that in different ways so that we can follow where he leads and know his fullness of life, know that security that comes from loving, obeying, and living for his praise and glory. Don't take my word for this. Do some listening for yourselves. The voice of love, the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of Jesus. Let's pray. Just have a moment of quiet-ishness. And it's lovely the kids are around. That's great. But let's just allow whatever God may have been saying to you through this passage of Scripture just to kind of find its home within us so that we don't lose sight or sound of that as we go from here this morning. So Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts afresh to you. And may we not just listen, but may we respond in obedience to the glory of your name and for our fulfillment and flourishing. Amen.